Rav Avram Shur. Okay, so this is the Halakach V'Halibuv from the year Tavshin Samach Aleph. That's where this Torahs are collected from. It's a beautiful piece in Parshas Lech Lecha. The truth is, it's a Drashos Chassam Sofer that he just says over in a way that's easier than learning the Drashos Chassam Sofer inside. Okay, so we're going to learn it here. And let's see. Avram Avinu Amar Lemelech Sedom. And we know in this week's Parsha, 126 psukim in this week's Parsha, we have the famous battle of the four kings and the five kings. When it's all said and done, and Avram is victorious, so it says in Perek Yudalet Pasuk Chav Gimel, Avram Avinu is getting a lot of kavod and opportunities to be granted wealth. The king of Sodom says, listen, Tein li anefesh v'aruchush kach lach, right? I'll take the people, you take the possessions. And Avram says, not a chance. And here's the pasuk: Imichut va'ad tsroch nal. I'm not taking a chut. I'm not taking a string. I'm not taking a shoelace. I'm not taking nothing from you. Ve'emakach mikol asher lach. Because if I were to take anything from you, Rashi says he offers him. He says, I'll pay you with other money. You don't want to take spoils of war. I'll give you something else. So he says, I'm not taking anything. Because if I take something from you, v'lo tomer ani ha'esharti es Avram. I know what you're going to do. You're going to spend the rest of your life saying, oh, Avram, as my reputation grows, which of course was all about enhancing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reputation in the world, you're going to say, oh, I was the one who got Avram started, you know? I'm Avram's sponsor. I'm the one who's paying his bills. So he said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not taking anything from you. Not a chut, not a sroch, no. So there's different midrashim, in different places, Gemara's midrashim, that tell us that because Avraham refused to take anything from the king of Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exchanged those physical possessions that he was going to give him with spiritual possessions. So for example, Amru Chazal, one midrash tells us, Chayecha sh'ani noisei levanecha mitzvahs yivama, I'm going to give you the mitzvah of Yibum, because you refuse to take a shoelace, so I'll give you a mitzvah that has to do with shoes. What's the mitzvah that has to do with shoes? Yibum. Heich ma da'atamar, like it says in Parshas Kiseitze, Dvarim Chafhei, V'cholza na'alo me'al raglo. Really, mitzvahs chalitza. The halacha is, the Torah says, that if a person passes away, and he does not have any children, and he has a brother, so the brother should take the deceased brother's wife, and they should have a child together to give kiyum, to give a name to his deceased brother, that his family name and his name should live on. The Ramban talks about some very interesting things with regard to Gilgulei Neshamos, how maybe the baby that will be born will somehow carry within it a neshama dika, spark of the brother, right, the original wife, the original husband of this woman. Okay, what happens if the fellow doesn't want to perform Yibum? So the Torah says there's another mitzvah called Chalitza. And the Pasuk says, we just read it, V'choltza na'alo me'al raglo. She pulls off his shoe from his foot, and she spits out of him, and she says, such is the fate of a person who built his brother's house. Okay, mitzvah's Chalitza. So because Avram didn't take a shoelace, from here we learn, Hashem says, I'm going to reward you, Mida, connected Mida, you're going to get Chalitza. Huh? Anyone? A little strange? What's the Mida, connected Mida here? V'tzvichem levar ha-Mida, connected Mida, she'esh b'schar zeh. What exactly is the Mida, connected Mida here? Sh'ayedei shelo noto me'habiza lachin zocha l'chalitza. You didn't take shoelaces from the battle, so therefore Hashem says, good, you made a good choice, I'll give you a better mitzvah, Chalitza. First of all, what does Chalitza have to do with Avram choosing not to take from the battle? Other than this very loose connection of Na'al Na'al, Gzeir Hashava Na'al Na'al. And more than that, Chalitza is somewhat of a bidyavet, no? Chalitza is if the brother decides not to perform Yibum. So how do we set the woman free to be able to go marry any man? Through a process called Chalitza. But she spits in his face, basically, and says, chutzpah, you don't want to marry me. Turning down the opportunity to do this mitzvah. V'od hiksha chsam sofer, the chsam sofer wonders. V'chimah ha-zechiyah shal mitzvah chalitza. What's the great chus of mitzvah chalitza? Halo ratzon ha-torah hu. Shiyavim Eishas Achiv. The Torah wants that he should perform an act of Yibum. V'lama nikrazos schar shazachal mitzvahs chalitza lebanov. Avram, I'm going to give you a great reward called chalitza. Is there a lichat chilin chalitza? Nowadays, we don't, certainly not in the Ashkenazi community, we don't do Yibum. We always do chalitza. And it's a mitzvah. Divorcing your wife is also a mitzvah, but that's like a strange reward for, you know. Minchas Chinuch says there's different types of mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs that you have to do. There's mitzvahs that when you want to do certain things, the Torah gives you a system by which to do it, and that makes it a mitzvah. So if you want to divorce your wife, the Torah says, say for krisus, you write her a divorce document, the Torah gives you a format to follow. So a person will say, I want to be a wholesome Jew. So I want to be mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So I should strive to divorce my wife. Then I can marry her. Maybe I'll marry her back. But at least then I can say in the Olam Hamas, Hashem says no. You know, like the famous line with Hashem Shemifal Hirsch. Did you see my Alps? Right. So Hashem's going to say, did you perform mitzvahs gerushin? Did you divorce your wife? You missed out on a mitzvah opportunity. Right. That's crazy. Of course not. Minchas Chinuch says that's not a lechat chila. If a person is getting divorced, there's a Torah process by which one divorces. So what's this chus of chalitza? Is there a lichar chila in chalitza? There has to be a lichar chila in chalitza, right? That's really what this piece is part of what I want to show you this piece to make you think that even in something which looks a little bit bediyeved, there is a lichar chila. There has to, if it's a mitzvah Hashem, even if it doesn't apply to all people at all times, and it's sort of the bediyeved track of mitzvah yibum, there has to be something alpipnimius that we can learn from it. So what's this chus? What's the reward of chalitza? So says Rav Mishur, I'm going to explain it to you based on a beautiful piece in the first volume of the Drashos Chassam Sofer. But again, he explains it a little bit, I would say more about Arichas, the Chassam Sofer's Drashos, very long. So it's not that Rav Mishur explains it longer, he makes it a little bit easier for us to, he clarifies it for us, gives us a context. Hayavam yesh lefanav shtei drachim. The Yavam has before him two options, two paths. Oli abeim eishes achiv, o lachlotz, yibum or chalitza. Those are the paths. Why does a person sometimes not choose yibum? What is yibum? Yibum is primarily about the fact that the Torah is telling him, go be intimate with your brother's wife. Go impregnate her. Right? The process of completing that marriage is through intimacy. Haisha nikneis bekesef shtar b'biyah. The Gemara in Kedushin says biyah is not a great track. We try to outlaw that track. It's not a great way to get started with a relationship. So yibum is a little bit tricky. V'atam shabocher b'chalitza ve'inu rotza liyavim hu. Says Rav Shor, it's underlined. The reason that a person chooses chalitza and avoids yibum, ki yare lenafsho she'inu yachol la'asosu l'shem shamayim. Because really, the purpose of Yibum, right? The purpose of Yibum is to be able to give kiyum to my brother's name. It's not because I think my brother's wife is pretty. And whatever the other taivas might come along with it. So what is the inyan of chalitza sanal? It's the recognition of what? Of being able to do things l'shem shamayim, or the fear of not doing things l'shem shamayim. How so? Where do we see that? Look what he says, a very, very deep Torah. Like anything that comes from Ishbitz and Radzin is always very deep. He quotes a Gemara in Tanis. Anyone remember this Gemara? Tanis Chav Gimel Lamed Beis, Gabe Berei de Choni Hamagel. The son of Choni Hamagel, whose name was Abba Chilkiah. And the Gemara tells this whole strange thing. He had all these strange hanhagos, and I asked him, why'd you do this? Why'd you do it like that? Why'd you do it like this? Why'd you do it like that? So one of the things that he did, they asked him, my time a kula orcha, why is it that the whole time you were walking on the road, you were walking barefoot? And when you got to the water, you put on your shoes. Why'd you put on your shoes when you got to the water? Amar lahu, he said, very simple. Kula orcha chazina. When I'm walking in the street, I can see where I'm walking. B'maya loka chazina. But in the water, it's hard to see. I don't know what's at the bottom of the creek or the river. I'm scared I'm going to step on a broken piece of glass. Explains the Sod Yashar, explains the Rebbe of Radzin. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It's Chusay again, Aleinu. Mevar ki megemara zu yecholim anu lahavin ma inyan shel minal. We understand what are shoes. What do shoes do for us, right? Shoes are interesting. Think about shoes. We have shoes by Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu to take off his shoes. We don't wear shoes, the Mishnah in Brachos says, when we go to Har Habayis. We say a bracha in the morning as part of Birchas HaShachar, Sha'asli Kol Tzarki, Hashem, thank you for giving me all of my needs, which is a reference to shoes. What is the role of shoes? Ki b'makum sha'adam roa es ha'kol mevurar lefanov, ve'ein lo shum sveikos, ein lo tzarech leminal. When a person can see everything in front of them, that's what we're learning from Abba Chilkio, the son of Choni Amagel. That when a person can see the path that they're walking upon, you don't need shoes. You know exactly where to go. You're not worried you're going to hurt yourself. A shoe protects you from the orcha, from the derech, when you're not exactly sure what's on the road in front of you. You're not sure exactly which derech to travel upon. Rak be'eis shaholich b'mayim she'ena yodeya b'birur mayimtza b'derech hilucho. When you're walking in the water, you don't know what's in front of you. Oz hu tzarech minal. So therefore, you need some type of footwear. Nimtza, he says, where it's underlined. Ki yesod inyan shen minal b'avodas Hashem hu. Ki ba'eis asher adam yored b'soch hachoshech. Levara misham hatov. The idea of a shoe is that when a person goes into a situation that is a mix of maybe kodesh and chol, he's not sure exactly what's in front of him. A situation where a person has to has to navigate carefully in order to make sure that he doesn't hurt himself, that he chooses that which is proper and avoids that which is improper. Turn the page. Where he needs to be concerned that, God forbid, he should attach himself to the negative chelek, that he should only grasp the chitzonius of what's before him and fail to what? To elevate the spark within, the nitzot ha-kadosh, the holy spark within, o yatzliach lios davuk bepnimius, or halavai, the opposite, that he attaches himself to the inner dimension and the outer dimension is just a hecha timsa to experience what's on the inside. So therefore, nimsa shaholich b'derech she'ena mevureres. So when a person is walking, right, as a metaphor for a person who's walking a path that's uncertain, that is the metaphor of shoes. So that's why when you come to places of absolute kedusha, you come to Beis Hamikdash, you take off your shoes. Because here, it's safe. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Sneh, Hashem says, take off your shoes. This is a holy place. You don't need to be afraid over here. This is a safe place. Take off your shoes. Part of the idea of wearing shoes in general, Rav Shur describes elsewhere, part of the idea of shoes in general is a piece here in Parsha Shmos. A beautiful piece. It talks about shoes. He quotes a Yaros Dvash, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says that in the Beis HaMikdash, we walk barefoot because we want to be yoinek, we want to draw Kedusha from the ground. So why do I dafka wear shoes when I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash? Because I don't want to draw from the earth, right? I don't want the hashba of Washington Heights, New York. So I don't want to walk around barefoot, not only because it's dirty. I don't want that hashba to impact me, right? He has some very powerful things about things that we touch and the power of making contact with things. Tiferes Shlomo writes in Parsha Shmos that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Bas Paro finds him, and she sees that the boy is crying, there's all sorts of explanations. Tiferes Shlomo explains, based on a Zohar Kadosh, that when Bas Paro touched Moshe, she started crying. He started crying. Tamedik, a woman. I mean, she was, according to Chazal, maybe she's converting at that moment. Right? But the power of eating contact with things. You touch a Dover Kedusha, it has Hashpa on you. You touch a Dover Tumah, it has Hashpa on you. So when I come to the Beis HaMikdash, right, here we're learning in Parshas Lech Lecha, he's explaining it more that there's a confidence that you're in a safe place. But the Rav Yonasan Eibshitz is explaining in his drashos in Yaros Dvash that we dafka want to make contact because we want to draw. We want to draw from that place. I was learning Shabbos morning, my son Yaakov got up very early. So we have this picture, Kukul Shabbos book that he really likes. And I started realizing Shabbos morning, like, wait a minute, we could do like so much more together. I mean, he's 4 and a half. You know, 5-year-old is when you start officially teaching your child Torah. Although once he starts to speak, you teach him some things. But I said, there's so many like good pictures. I'm going to go buy like every good Jewish picture book and just start learning. So then we were learning Mishnah Shabbos. I took the picture of Mishnah Shabbos. We had a great time. So one of the pictures in the Hilchos Shabbos book is a picture of like a pot with a flower in it, and it has holes in the bottom. And you're not allowed to pick up such a pot on Shabbos. So why not? Why not? Why is that kotzer? It's not attached. I'm not plucking a flower out of the ground. I'm not picking a fruit off the tree. Why is that part of kotzer? It's not mechubar lekarka. It's not attached to the ground. But since there's holes in the bottom of the pot, the halacha says, a perforated pot is yonek. It's able to draw minerals up from the ground, right? Even though it's not rooted in the ground, it's rooted in its own dirt, but the dirt is able to connect to dirt, and dirt to dirt, it draws up nutrients and minerals. And therefore, when you detach it from the ground, so to speak, even though it's just resting on the ground, but because it has holes in the bottom, when you pick it up, you're detaching it from the ground. So you see scientifically, when something is touching something else, there's a transfer of nutrients, of minerals, of energy from A to B. So when a person comes to Beis HaMikdash, you want to make contact. When a person's in a place where he's not sure exactly what's happening here, he wants to protect. He doesn't want to make direct contact. He wears shoes. That's the secret of this Gemara in Tanis. Again, that Abba Chilkia wore shoes in the murky waters. He said, when a person has a suffix, exactly what's in front of you, you put on your shoes. Yeah.
So why nowadays do we wear shoes while we daven, and why then during Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim take it off? Is it like, what's the reason?
You tell me.
Maybe.
Kind of in general, we're not confident to. Could be. It could be that we're like in some small way recreating the Makom HaMikdash through the Birchas Kohanim.
So why would we do it the whole time?
That's an interesting question also.
We draw the Kedusha, and when we're in a place,
right,
where we consider that there's no...
Are you saying Kedusha is basic class? We should take off our shoes in shul. It's a good question. So you're saying we don't have proper Kavana, we're not... Could be. I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe, well, nowadays you don't do a lot of things that, like, they don't bow all the way. Just like the Arabs see that. So maybe it's also like take their shoes off, maybe.
There definitely are things that other religions started to do that we stopped doing. But Al-Pipnimis, it's a good question, right? Meaning why, if this is the Indian of shoes, and this is the Indian of making direct contact with Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, so why don't we wear it? Why don't we remove them when we're in a holy place like Eshul?
Let's say like the close up, like something
right,
more specific where like we actually know, like,
right. Right, there's varying degrees of Kedusha, but right, it's holy enough. Kedusha's basic nesis is a level of Kedusha. It's not Kedusha's a mikdash, although it's a mikdash ma'ad of sorts, but it's enough, it's kadosh enough that we should be able to draw from it, make contact with it. I don't know.
I feel like I heard I could be wrong that you're not even supposed to dabble without shoes.
Right. So we have to understand why that is. It seems almost backwards.
Is that why some people at the Ohel take off their shoes? Is that why some people at the Ohel, like, you'll see
take off their shoes?
Off.
Yeah,
like,
I guess so.
They want to draw the Kedusha.
Draw from the Kedusha.
Like,
Could be. All right, so let's see. So based on this yisod from the Sod Yisharim, we'll read where it's underlined, Nimtza Shaholich B'derach Sheinu Muvareres V'nikra Shaholich B'minal. When a person goes again in a place that's unclear exactly where I'm traveling, or what's in front of me, so I wear shoes. Aval Misha Osig Ba'avodas Hashem Yisbarach Ba'ofan She'eno Machnis Atzmo L'Nisyonos. But when I chart a clear path, and this is the brilliant way the Chassam Sofer is going to explain this, when I chart a clear path, and I avoid sveikos, and I stay away from nisyonos, ve'eino holich b'drachim misukanos, and I avoid dangerous pathways, lahoti misham yakar mizolal, oz adam kazeh ein sarach mina. When I say, you know what, I'm not confident that I can be the one to, so to speak, redeem this holy spark that's trapped in this place, I'll leave it for a real tzaddik to come. I'm just going to avoid this because while there is potential to release and to elevate this nitzot hakadosh, there's also potential for me to be dragged down. And that's exactly what yibum is. There's potential to rebuild, to build my brother's home and to give his name permanence, a legacy. There's also potential for me to be involved in an act of arayos with a heter. So therefore, let's see. Uvezem avara hasod yishar, and with this the sod yishar explains mashmatzinu etzol mara hasne, what we find by Moshe Rabbeinu in Shmos Perek Gimbal. When Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take your shoes off of your feet, ki amokom asher ata omid alav admas kodeshu. You're standing on holy soil. What does that mean? Ki b'makom admas kodesh, sha'akedusha sham b'behiras, ein tzarech l'mino. When you're standing on a ground that is absolutely sacred, there's no sveikos here. Take your shoes off. Have a clarity. V'cheinu inyan masha osur leilech v'beis ha-mikdash. Now, same idea, wearing shoes on the beis ha-mikdash. Shakol mitzad behiras ha-kedusha, like we explained. V'lechein ha-yava masher bocher b'derech ha-chalitza. So think about this. You would think the Yavam, what do you mean? He doesn't have a clarity. He's not sure what to do. Should I do Yibam? Should I do Chalitza? But when he chooses Chalitza, what is he choosing? He's choosing to avoid a suffix. I don't know if I can do the mitzvah of Yibam L'Shem Shemayim. And that itself creates what? An awesome Kedusha. You could take off your shoes. You made a choice that you should be confident in. Because performing the mitzvah of Yibam is the suffix. I'm not sure if I could do this L'Shem Shemayim. Now, we have to still explain, so why does she spit in front of him? In the end, chalitza still seems like a failure. But you know what? It's a very realistic failure. It's a nice way to describe it. It's a realistic failure. It's a failure in the sense that it's chaval that I'm not confident enough to do mitzvah yibum, but it's meiridik that I have yiras shamayim on such a level that I'm not going to get involved in something that's too risky. V'lechein ha-yavam asher bocher b'derech chalitza. When the yavam chooses chalitza, she'ena rotza le'yredu levar in yane olam ha'azah. I'm not going to be the one to go down to lift up this holy spark and retrieve it from captivity. I don't know if I know how to do that. Right? Tzaddikim know how to eat with Kedusha. Tzaddikim know how to be involved in intimacy with Kedusha. I'm a baser v'dam. I'm too much interested in my own pleasures. So I don't know how to do that. Ulahokim shame la achiv la havi nishmas achiv la hamhaza beben hanolad kedisos farmakadoshim, that I'm going to impregnate my brother's wife. And then the child will be the spirit of my deceased brother, and to give his name a kiyum in this world. I don't know if that's my kavana. And if it's not, then I'm staying out of it. And that's maybe why today we don't do yibum anymore. We don't. Some Sephardi parts of the world there is still a concept of yibum, but for the most part, most of Israel says we're not even touching it. It's too risky. Shereinu wrote to this as aso of a derech chazu. She malaya sveikos. I get involved. That's filled with all sorts of doubts. Shemalo yasa shlichuso. Maybe I'm not going to carry out the mission properly. V'yifka be'iser eishes ach. Chaim, I realize that before my brother passed away, my brother's wife is usher to me. It's eishes ach. It's my brother's wife. It's a strange and unusual heter that the Torah creates. Dafka in this case, when my brother died without children, that eishes ach becomes a mitzvah. But that's so pasha that it's a mitzvah. Right? At least initially, this was not a mitzvah b'chal. Harei einu rotza b'derech shel minal, ki einu rotza la'hichanes l'toch ha-hester v'lachein v'choltza na'alau. And therefore she removes his shoe. That's his way of saying, I'm staying out of the suffix. Wearing the shoes means I'm taking the risk. Taking off the shoe, in this case, is staying out of it and having the confidence to know that this is too delicate for me. Yeah?
What is doing Hebrew in the Shem Shemayim mean? Does it mean that you have to be doing it completely for the reason that Hashem made it a mitzvah? Do you have to be doing it specifically for your brother to keep the name going? Could you be doing it at all for the sister-in-law that you don't want her to have to live alone? And
good question.
What does that mean in this situation?
Right, the challenge, again, whenever we deal with in Yanei Achila or Arayos, the Gemara says the challenge of Achila and Arayos is that Shekei Nehenna, that a person gets hanaf from these things. So memela built into it is the status quo is that a person's going to have some of their own enjoyment. Right? So you're asking, to what degree does a person need to, you know, surrender any enjoyment or pleasure from it? Is that even humanly possible? And second of all, right, does the kavana have to be dafka? The kavana is to to give my brother's name kiyum in this world, right? What if I think she's a great woman, and I think she'll make me into a better Jew? That's also a form of l'shem shemayim. Is that the l'shem shemayim that we're looking for here? I don't know. That's a very hard question. And again, it could be part of these sveikos that we stay away from the whole thing. Yeah.
I think when it comes to doing mitzvahs without any sort of das or any sort of thought, you've stuck or whatever it may be, why are we so concerned necessarily what the man's thinking about?
Right.
If the whole thing is the avoda, how much do we care that is it l'shem shemayim?
Right. The bottom line is it's a mitzvah. But the Torah says it's a mitzvah. Right, we do mitzvahs all the time without kavanah, right?
Right.
With regard to bringing in a
story, why here are we so... okay. So that could be.
How the intentions of each...
That could be. It's a good answer.
While during the course of Bia, their kavanos go into the level of the...
Right. That's a very good answer.
We just hear provo. It just says that we're supposed to...
Yeah, on the one hand, it's a mitzvah, right? On the one hand, we can be simple about it. It's a mitzvah. Do the mitzvah.
Right. I mean, for obvious reason, I can understand. It's very easy to understand.
Do the mitzvah. But again, the goal of doing mitzvah is kasher tziva Hashem.
Right.
And a person has to ask himself honestly in this particular mitzvah, can I even claim that I'm doing that? But I think Yehuda's adding a good point. What the Tanya describes, again, based on Tikkuni Zohar and other svarim, that the kavana of parents b'shas bia is going to impact the level of soul. Right, and that's so. Therefore, if I'm trying to bring this child down as a way of giving an achas ruach to my brother, I have to do it right. Again, I'm not sure exactly what it means to do it right in this particular situation, 100% to do it l'shem shemayim. And why can't we just be more simplistic about it and say this is a mitzvah, so do the mitzvah. But because again, whenever we're dealing with achila or arayos, the Gemara says you can't really describe achila or arayos as ever being something, a passive experience, shechei nene, because the body is nene from it.
Right.
Right? So there's no misasik. That's the context in halacha. There's no misasik. Right? If a person's just doing something without realizing that they're doing something, in hilchos Shabbos, you need meleches machsheves, you need willful, you need intention, you need to know what you're doing.
Right.
When it comes to achila and arayos, even if a person says, I didn't realize what was happening, but okay, but the bottom line is you benefited from, you enjoyed the experience, and therefore you can't say after the fact, well, it's as if it didn't happen. It did happen. It's a unique category. And that's where the sensitivity comes from. Okay, let's keep going. Ksiv, Pasuk says in Amos, Al machram bekesef tzadik ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim. You sold a tzadik for money, and a poor person, a pauper, for shoes. Chazal say, in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Parak Lamed Ches, ki ashvatim machru Yosef atzadik be'esrim kesef, that Yosef was sold for money, 10 brothers, 20 kesef was the total value of the sale, and each of the shvatim took 2 kesef and went and bought themselves a pair of shoes. That's what the Navi Amos is alluding to. Obviously the words of Chazal here are very deep. Yosef's brothers sold him for pairs of shoes. Back in the kuda echa, but one nekuda, nekuda achas. Nucha lahavin masha marumas bezeh. But we can still try to say one thing based on what we just learned from the Sod Yashar. What's the machlokes Yosef and the brothers? There's many different ways, even mashalim that we use to express the machlokes Yosef and the brothers. What are they fighting about? So let's use shoes as sort of the nekuda of the machlokes, kuda sa machlokes. In other words, really, Machlokes Yosef and Yehuda, Yosef and the Shvatim is Yosef and Yehuda. Should we do Yibam or should we stay away from it? Chalitza. Derech Yibam means to be Osek b'inyani olam hazeh, afilu b'inyan kazeh, asher karov hu livgoa b'esh asach. Yibo means I take the risk to be involved in things of this world, even if it means that sometimes I'm going to get a little too close to the Isra Eishasach. Ulevar shemaisav l'shem shemayim. V'zohi aderech shematzinu eitzel Yehuda. Sh'asa yibom bekalaso tamar. In fact, Yehuda did yibom, right? By being intimate with Tamar. Kamo sheperesh Ramban sham, shay inyin shal yibom. As Ramban explains there, again, we've read that in the Pashup Shan and the Chumash, But the Ramban explains there really was a Maisi Yibum. Ki Yehuda v'ashvatim asku b'biur in yanei olam hazeh levar hakol l'shem shamayim. Yehuda and the other brothers were oisik in yanei olam hazeh as a way of lifting up holy sparks. But Yosef was Yosef at Tzaddik. And Yosef at Tzaddik, when he had that opportunity to be with Eishes Potiphar, and she was trying to convince him to do so l'shem shamayim, as Rashi says, Yosef's derech is, no, Tzaddik doesn't get involved in these types of things. Yosef was what? Yosef was Nazir Achav, as he's called by the Brach. He's a Nazir. He detaches himself from anything pleasureful of this world. Matzino b'nisayon shal Yosef at Tzaddik, he took the derech of Chalitza. As it says, v'yima'ein, that Yosef at Tzaddik refused. She Yosef at Tzaddik, Amar, im l'dvar mitzvah mam'inan l'dvar aveira lo kol shekein. If Yosef said, sometimes we can refuse a mitzvah, then all the more so, Eishes Potiphar, I'm going to refuse this aveira. U'mevur shal Yosef at Tzaddik tzorech l'lmod kavachomer kedei l'ma'ein. That Yosef needed a kavachomer to convince himself to refuse. V'adavar tzorech bir, ki lama lo l'mod michalitza. Right? Why learn from chalitza? L'ma'ein b'dvar aveira. Yosef says, there's an Avera in front of me. Should I do the Avera? Well, sometimes we don't do a mitzvah. Sometimes we don't do Yibam, we choose Chalitza. So therefore, I shouldn't do an Avera. Kind of funny Gezeira Shavuos. Funny Kavachomer is that. Because sometimes we don't do a mitzvah, so therefore I shouldn't do an Avera? Of course, what do you need a Kavachomer? Of course, don't do an Avera because it's an Avera. Mahalimud me chalitza. Why is Yosef bringing chalitza into this? V'akavonas ha'inyin mevaris v'asemes b'likutim. V'asemes explains. Rashi mevi divrei chazal. Shahaya kan inyin l'shem shamayim. You have to understand Eishes Potiphar was also telling Yosef, this is a mitzvah by you. This is l'shem shamayim. She rasa ki tzarech l'tzeis mimen ben. She saw, right, like Rashi says, she saw on the constellations, she saw on the stars that we're meant to be together. No, how would that merger actually take place? It wasn't false what she saw in the stars, right? Her daughter, who was really, according to Chazal, from Beis Yaakov, and was adopted by her, would in fact marry Yosef. Right? Osnas would marry Yosef. So she saw a shidduch between her and Yosef. She didn't realize it was her daughter, who was again really a member of Yosef's family. But she saw, and she was trying to convince Yosef, no, this is... It's written in Shemayim. This is how it's supposed to be. At worst, it's an Aveir Lishma, which is a very holy thing. Yosef said to himself, maybe I'm supposed to do this. Maybe I am supposed to do this. We need to bring down this neshama. It's written in the stars. The same way that by Yibo, a person can say to himself, I'm gonna be with my brother or sister because I want the mitzvah. I want to bring down this neshama. But Yosef said, whoa, hold on a second. Sometimes we don't do Yibam even. So we certainly don't sleep with another man's wife with some type of strange kavana. Yehuda ledas nishmas Mashiach. You could say, oh, there's a holy soul here. It comes about holding the shamos come in a strange way. Yehuda and Tamar and Rus and David and Melech, all these, you know, all that whole line of, right, leading towards David, leading towards Mashiach. Lord and his daughters, it's all the same line. It's all the same line. It all meets up. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be. It comes about dafka in a strange way. It's a, you know, the holiest things come out of the strangest places. Yosef had a real suffix. Maybe I'm supposed to do this. Maybe this is the chance to bring Mashiach. But Yosef said, hold on a second. Yibum is for sure a mitzvah. And even that we sometimes run away from because we're not confident we could do it l'shem shemayim. Ki yesod mitzvah chalitza hu sha'atorah nitna derech la'adam shalo yidog avur ha'alos ha'neshamos v'nyanam acherim. Rak yochel l'ma'ein. The Torah said that by Yibum, if you don't feel confident to lift up this spark, to bring down that neshama, the Torah says you can avoid it. Imkain kol shekain l'dvar avera. So the more so for dvar avera, Yosef says, "Vayimain, I'm not getting involved with this." Af sheyesh cheshbon kein zeh shalahakim la'achiv shem. Even though he could have said a whole cheshbon to explain why it makes a lot of sense. So therefore, have a look where it's underlined. last 8 lines on the page. Nimtza. Ki yesod avodas Yosef atzadik haya chalitza. So Yosef is the world of chalitza. That's his avoda. V'avoda mibli leirei lemekomos shel choshech v'sveikos. Levara lahotzi yakar mizoylo. He's the person who says, I'm not touching, my business is not yichudim and lifting up nitzotzos, and that's not my inyan. My inyan is, keep it simple. Can I do this Hashem Shemayim or not? If the answer is not, if there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says don't, Eishas Ish, another man's wife, Eishas Potiphar, not getting involved. I don't care what the stars say. V'zeh kavana shemachru Yosef etzadik avur na'alayim. So what a deep shot. Now we understand, what does it mean the brothers sold Yosef over shoes? The whole thing revolved around shoes. Right? Yosef HaTzadik said, I don't want shoes. I'm staying out of shoes. Shoes means navigating the murky waters. I don't want to navigate murky waters. I'm going to keep it simple. Nizir Echav. I'm not interested in any of this. The brothers said, we're missing out on moving the world forward. We have to be willing to take those risks. Right? They're both right. But Yosef says, I'm not interested. So that's the machlokas. Zeh kavana shemachu Yosef atzadik avor na'alayim ki ashvatim ratu leleches bedarcho shel Yehuda velo bederach shel v'cholza na'alo. The brothers wanted to walk in the derech of what? Of Yibum. They didn't want to take the alternate track of v'cholza na'alo. Right? The Yavama takes off his shoe. Rak daika b'na'alayim lasok b'birurin, to work on elevating and clarifying and lifting up, v'ha'ala sakadusha, raising up that which is holy. Yeah.
I can't imagine the time. We saw this. We were talking about Menashe and Ephraim, and how Yosef had the idea of first doing and then learning.
Menashe before Ephraim.
Sur
Mira, then I say Tov. And Yaakov says so, right.
And it's just interesting because Yosef. Is Mashiach ben Yosef, whereas Yehuda is Mashiach ben David, because like Yehuda is more able to relate to the klal as opposed to Yosef, who's a lechatchila but not able to relate to the klal.
Right, a melech understands the klal. That's his job. That's part of his job. Yehuda versus Yosef. Yeah. You talk about Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David being Mashiach ben Yosef being Kedusha and Mashiach ben David being Tefillah or Emunah. And I guess that's also part of this. Meaning when a person has Emunah in himself, a certain confidence, again, we're learning it, there's a very important Yisod here. But we could also learn it the other way. We could say, the Torah says there's a mitzvah called Yibum. Let's go for it. Without the Cheshbonot. Maybe it's a trick of the Yetzer Hara to say, oh no, I'm not going to be able to do it enough with enough Kavanah. Hashem says, give your brother's name, a kiyum in this world. You know, so part of the Amunah, part of Yosef, Mashiach ben David, part of Yehuda, part of that world of Amunah and Tefillah is having the confidence that when I dive into Hashem, it's going to be fine. I can do this. Don't psych yourself out. But Yosef, whose whole world is Kedusha, says, I can't risk it. Again, Elu ve'el divrei Elokim Chaim. Yeah.
I don't understand. I thought that the tzaddik's job is to try to lift up the sparks, but Yosef is Yosef at Tzadik.
That's a good question. Right. Tzadik could be avoiding, right? Or Tzadik could be Dafka, the one who's Osik in these things. Again, Yosef at Tzadik becomes Tzadik when he avoids, when he runs away from Yosef Potiphar. And he says, I don't care if you try to convince me it's L'Shem Shemayim, I'm not doing it. Right? That was Yosef's emes. That's why he saw the picture of his father in the window. Why did he see his father in the window? So his father in the window, because he did emes liyakov, a certain emes, it's muddy, it's not a lion to get involved with Eishes Potiphar. You could say a svar yes, you could say a svar no, but that's not emesic enough. Maybe that's the pshat also. There's a lot of Torah about when he saw his father in the chalon. You know that a chalon has a lot to do with Neiros Chanukah. Right, we place the Hanukkah candles by the chalon. It's Baruch Hashem, we've got to start making a chanas, you know? That was our first word of Hanukkah, and I shared it, Baruch Hashem. What's today's date? The 5th of Cheshvan? Okay, good. Yeah, so chalon. Why is chalon have to do with Hanukkah? Besides the fact that you put the neros in the chalon, many people, so put it by the door, some people put it in the chalon. Yeah? But chalon is Rashi Tevos, lahadlik ner chanukah. Ches lamindun, lahadlik ner chanukah. So I always say the vart, that why is the Gemara says we put the menorah on which side of the doorpost? On the left. We put the mezuzah on the right, we put the menorah on the left. So what's the vart I always like to say? How is the mezuzah opposite the menorah? How are they opposites of each other? Remember the vart? How do we put a mezuzah? We put it on a slant. Why do we put a mezuzah on a slant? Because machlokas we show on him. So as a compromise, we put it on a slant. And there's a lot of nice Torahs. You come into a home, different personalities, a husband and wife. They have to learn to work together, compromise. All those beautiful Torahs. What is the mezuzah? What does the menorah opposite the mezuzah represent? What does menorah represent in the fight against Yavan? No. If mezuzah is compromised, yes, then menorah is no compromise. No compromise. So when he sees his father in the window, his father whose midah is emes, when Yosef sees his father's picture in the window, right? So first of all, he's seeing his father, which is emes. He's also, again, all those Chanukah Torahs about chalon, lahadlik ner chanukah, he's seeing the menorah. The menorah says, no cheshbonos. That's Yavan. Yavan's world is cheshbonos. This is also holy, Greek philosophy, this is also valuable, etc., etc. Yosef says, you are another man's wife, there's nothing to talk about here. No, but I see in the stars, we're meant to be together. No cheshbonos. Nothing. Emes. Straight. Pashut. The brothers, Elevelo Develo Kim Chaim, say, a person has to go. If the Jewish people aren't going to go out and elevate the world, then what's going to be? So we have to go out to the world. Okay? And that's the machlokas over shoes. Amazing. Turn to the last page. So we still need to explain something a little bit unusual, right? Again, I think we would all agree that Yibum is ideal if we can do it. We're learning today there's something very holy about having the Yiras Shemayim not to do it because you're scared you can't do it. But Yibum is certainly the ideal. Chalitza is certainly a bidyevet track, although if you can't handle it, it's a lechachila by you. Well, I can't do it unless the Torah gives me that track. Right? The Torah gives me such a track here. I can't say, I don't know how to put on my tefillin with kavanah. So one of the strongest things I ever heard from Rav Avram Shor. In person, I heard it from him. We invited him. We invited him to someone's house in Tinek. We had a chashuva gathering with him. It was great. And he said, it was B'nai Yeshiva. So he said, sometimes a person thinks, you know, I did an Aveira last night. I was nichshol in this or that, and I can't get up the next morning, and I feel unworthy of davening. I feel unworthy of putting on my tefillin. So Rav Shor said, it's such a vina hafach way to mechazik a person. So he said, think of it like this: when are you ever worthy to put on your tefillin? You're never worthy to put on your tefillin, right? The Gadol HaDor is not worthy to put on tefillin. It's a crazy thing that Hashem gives us rishos to put on tefillin. Not rishos, He commands us to put on tefillin. Hashem demands of us to wear tefillin. So he's like, last night I did such an aveira, I can put on tefillin the next morning. So let me ask you. So if you made a seim of shas the night before, so now you wake up the next morning, and now you're roy to wear tefillin. You're still not roy to wear tefillin. You're still baser v'dam. So what's the difference? That's what he said. What's the difference? Either way, you're obligated to wear tefillin. So you're right. So Nisan's right. You can't make those cheshbonos unless the Torah gives you that option. By Yibum, the Torah gives you another track called Chalitza. But God forbid to fall into this trap of the Yetzer Hara. I'm not worthy to learn Torah. I'm not worthy to daven. Like Reinberger said it the other day from Slonimer's farm, that a person who did the biggest Aveira and can't go right afterwards and daven a tefillah b'kavana, right? The Lashon in some of the Sfarim is that you just murdered someone and the sword is still dripping with blood. If you can't put down the sword and walk into the Beis Medrash, mincha, mincha. Yeah, if you can't do that, it says in Slonimer Sfarim, you don't know the first thing, you haven't crossed the threshold of the Baal Shem Tov. You don't know the first thing about Chassidus. So what's Chassidus? Some irresponsible way to let a person get away with murder? No. But it just means, afal pichin. We're never worthy to daven mincha. Whether you just murdered someone or whether you just did an act of Kedusha. Right? So let's see. Says the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva. Chassam Sofer b'Tshuva or Chaim Simin Reish Beis, and he has it other places as well. Kosov. Leva'er lama b'chalitza. Tzivsa Torah shi'ikayim ha'yavama ma'isa chalitza. V'yarka b'fanav. Why is it that the Yavama, that the woman who he is choosing not to marry, she takes off his shoe and spits before him? Why does she take off the shoe? And why does she spit b'fanav? She spits towards him. In his face. She spits at him. The Torah is telling us, well, she's spitting at him, obviously, it's a gnai. Right? It's a gnus for the cholet, she'ina osa maisa mitzvah shel yibum. I'm disgusted by you. That's what spitting means. I'm disgusted by you. That you don't want to choose this mitzvah. Uva l'shono, in the language of the Chassam Sofer, Pasuk says, Yarka b'fanav, eich b'nei kel chai, Lo yachlu lechav in the Shem Shemayim. She's spitting at him. What's wrong with you, you pervert? Why can't you do this mitzvah, the Shem Shemayim? Right? You think you're being so from. I don't want to get involved in this. What's wrong with you getting involved in this? What do you think of me? You don't want to do the mitzvah? So she's saying, in the words again, the Chassam Sofer's words, she's spitting at him. How could it be that a child of the Borei Olam can't do this mitzvah, the Shem Shemayim? What's wrong with you? And you know what he feels when she says that to him through her actions? By removing his shoe? By saying, you're avoiding Olam Haza? You don't have the confidence to do L'Shem Shemayim? He's terribly embarrassed. Right? He's terribly embarrassed. And not only that, he's embarrassed his whole life. You know why? Shekosim al beis hayavam, they write on his home, it's stamped on his home, Cholotanal. This is the house of the guy who what? Who took off his shoe because he wouldn't do it. He follows around forever. If this mamish follows him. Again, whatever that means, like you would ask, what exactly does it mean? Kulo l'shem shemayim. But listen to what the Chassam Sofer writes. It's a Mishnah in Eidos. It's a famous line from a Mishnah in Eidos. He's paraphrasing. U'misayim Chassam Sofer, af al pichem, where it's underlined. Mutav shiashota kol yamov. I'd rather be called a fool. I'd rather be called Amaretz. I'd rather be called a failure my whole life by people. I'd rather them stamp on my house. This is the house of the person who didn't know how to be mechavim l'shem shemayim, but at least did that l'shem shemayim. His yirah shemayim gave him the confidence to say, I don't know how to do this l'shem shemayim. And he's going to be embarrassed his whole life. But I'd rather be embarrassed and called a fool my whole life than, God forbid, to be wicked in the eyes of Hashem for a moment. That Hashem knows my true kavana, that I'm not l'shem shemayim, b'shas yibam. I'd rather be embarrassed for the rest of my life in front of people than for 1 second for Hashem to say, that's not yibam. What you're doing right now is not yibam. That was not what I had in mind. Kim eino yachol lamar al atman l'chvosh yitzro, mutav shia b'bizayon kol yamav v'lo yavu al ratzon kona. Wow. Better to be embarrassed your whole life than to do against Hashem, to do something that Hashem would find embarrassing for even a second. That's unbelievable. What time is it? It's 11 o'clock. So you know what? Let's start. The last part of the piece we'll save, because I still want to learn a little halacha for those who want to stick around for a few more minutes. But what an important yisod. And again, it's not so pashut. It's Yosef and the brothers. It's Yosef and Yehuda. It's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Right? It's Tara versus Kedusha in the Mesilas Yesharim. Is it avoiding things or getting involved and having the confidence to elevate it? Elevel devel kim chayim, different situations, different people, different times in life call for different things. But again, something really to think about. This whole yesod of what shoes are also. The idea that shoes help us to navigate the confusion of this world. Very, very chashuv yesod. Okay, good? Any other comments, thoughts? Yeah.
You were saying if he doesn't have the right kavana, so if he did it and he wasn't sure.
He didn't do it l'shem shemayim.
So then is it that he didn't do yibum? Is it that he?
No, it'll still be halachically yibum, right? It'll still be halachically yibum. So but again, he, in a certain sense, and that's Yehuda's question. Like, at what point do we say it's enough yibum that it justifies being with his brother's wife? That the Torah was willing to be mat your eshes ach, your brother's wife, for the purpose of bringing a child down to this world. At what point is he doing it enough l'shem shemayim that he should, you know, be able to do so with confidence?
So
But again, the person who's scared to do it, and the fact that halacha nowadays is scared to do it, it's just a reminder to us. It's a very important reminder. You know, we learn a lot of Sefer Chassidus, so much of it is about dira b'tachtonim and creating kedusha through physicality. And that's so much what the mission of Baal Shem Tov was. But think about some of the early tzaddikim who were poyrish from Olam Haza. We're completely poyrish from Olam Haza. A little bit of Rabbi Nachman when he was younger versus Rabbi Nachman when he was older, on a certain level. Again, he was a poyrish, I think, his whole life in terms of his activities, in terms of his behaviors, but in terms of his attitude. And he was younger, he was terrified of Olam Haza. As he was older, he had more confidence to laugh at, you know, the way he was when he was younger and thought some of his chumras and his precious were extreme. But again, we can't, you know, delude ourselves into thinking that every time I'm, you know, the story I told you with the Chiddush HaRim and the guy with the children eating, you know, L'chavad Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavad Shabbos Kodesh. And the Chiddush HaRim said, L'chavad my stomach. Because come on, let's be honest, let's be real for a second. It's not L'chavad Shabbos Kodesh, it's L'chavad your stomach. You like the taste of the children. So you just have to be careful. We have to realize that we sometimes do things, L'shem, what we think is L'shem Shemayim, it could be anything. It could be dancing on Simchas Torah. It could be learning Torah. You could pretend to do it L'shem Shemayim, and it's totally self-serving. What was the Vart I thought of the other day? I had a Vart. About the danger of exactly that. Oh, yeah. What's the origin of idolatry? Oh, this is an Irish Shabbos. I was picking up my kids. What was the origin of idolatry? The Rambam says the origin of idolatry were people who were acting L'shem Shemayim. They were doing a very holy thing. What did they want to do? They wanted to give more honor to Hashem. So the Rambam says the Svar was the same way that if the king makes this person a nobleman and people have to honor him, right? Bow down to Haman, Lahavdil, Machshamo, because he's a chashav person in the government. So too, Hashem says, the stars, the moon, the sun, they're the most chashuv parts of my creation. So we honor Hashem by giving honor to them. Says the Rambam, what happened over time? Things fell apart. The whole system fell apart. And people started worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars themselves. They started, Nevi'ei Sheker started claiming, oh, the sun told me that it's a god and this is how it wants to be worshipped. Oh, the sun told me, give me money so we can build a temple for this, you know, star, this constellation. And before you know it, we had what started off as something very L'shem Shemayim turned into mamish, the origins of idolatry. So I was thinking about that on Erev Shabbos. I was thinking about that really, I was giving myself muster, but I think we should all think about it once in a while. There's a lot of things we do as Jews where we have to be really careful that it's L'shem Shemayim. Doing a mitzvah, what do you mean? Why am I doing it? Why am I doing it? No? And I think people who are involved in Avodas HaKodesh, that's what I was really thinking about. If you're playing the role of a rabbi or teacher, you have to be so careful. Or even a Shana Bet guy to a Shana Aleph guy, you have to be very careful. At what point am I spreading the Torah because I really care about teaching Torah, to give honor to Hashem? And at what point do I want, you know, my chavrusa to look up at me and say, wow, you're such an amazing, you learned the Gemara so well, wow. You know Torah ideas so well. So L'shem Shemayim. The roots of idolatry were also L'shem Shemayim. That's the vibe. It's a scary thought. Yeah?
So, like, Mitzvahs Aseh, like, usually, like stuck and things like that, like, obviously, like, we have, like, the best way to do it, and then, like, even just giving stuck without the right intentions,
right,
you're still getting it, and majority of Mitzvahs Aseh, there's no, like, if you do it but don't have the right intention, do we not count it?
I mean, there is a siman in Shulchan Aruch on Mitzvahs Svichas Kavana,
yeah,
right? But you're right, we're, for the most part, we assume that there's a base level of, if I put on my tefillin today, I got mitzvah tefillin.
Yeah.
Are there a thousand, you know, degrees of levels of madrigos, of kavana, of connection, of proper fulfillment of the mitzvah? Yes, of course.
And then, I don't know, like,
but again, the Torah here is putting the escape route right alongside the mitzvah. That's the Torah's way of saying not all mitzvahs are created equally. You know it, you understand why yivam is not so simple. And the Torah says, be honest with yourself. If you can't do it, do chalitza. they're going to make fun of you, says the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva. So let them make fun of you the rest of your life. Be honest with Hashem. That's very powerful. But most mitzvahs, you got to do because Hashem says you got to do.
So it sounds like
here are those two tracks.
If you're not doing it to the best ability,
then your mitzvah is not shalem.
Not even not shalem. You shouldn't. It's not the best at that point. It's basically saying.
Oh, it's again. There's it's levels. There's levels of the mitzvahs.
Base level is already that you, like you need the proper bonus to do that. That's the base level of it.
There's levels within mitzvahs.
Some
mitzvahs demand greater kavana, and failure to be mechaving creates more of a psul or a failed opportunity. Yes, Amram.
But can it be an avera to do a mitzvah like that? That, for example, a rabbi. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. 100%. This week's parsha. Is a Yismach Moshe in this week's parsha. My brother told this to me many years ago. I looked it up over Shabbos, though. I was thinking about it. I looked it up over Shabbos. It's in the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe says that when Avram says to Lot, if you go right, I'm going left. If you go left, I'm going right. Right? We can't travel together. This is not working. You go one way, I'll go a different way. So Yismach Moshe says, the Zohar says that Avram represents Shama HaKadosha. Avram represents the Yetzer Tov. Lot in the Yetzer Hara. If you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. What does it mean? You know, right and left are chesed and din. So Yismach Moshe says there's two ways the Yetzer Hara tries to get us. Sometimes a person does an avera, and a person says, you know what, I'm going to do tshuva now. So the Yetzer Hara says, hold on a second, what tshuva? What do you mean tshuva? Midas ha-din. You did an avera, you're going to get punished. So what do you do when the Yetzer Hara goes left on you? He says, midas ha-din. What do you do? You go right. You say, no, there's tshuva. Sometimes a person says, I'm going to do this avera, and Hashem will forgive me. Hashem is very kind and generous, and Hashem is a midah of chesed and rachamim, and Hashem Baruch Hu is so understanding. That's the Yetzer Hara trying to lure you into the avera by saying, it's not such a big deal, God will forgive you. Hashem is merciful. Yetzer Hara is going right on you. So then you have to go left, you have to say, no, midas adin. There are consequences. Mishnah says you can't do an avera and then do tshuva if it's premeditated. It doesn't work like that. So whichever way the Yitzhahara goes, you have to go the opposite way. Right? But that's, that's it. You break the Yitzhahara's ankles. Yeah, no, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. You have to be so careful. Sometimes in life, we think something's a big mitzvah and it's a big avera.
I have an example of my own life.
What's here?
For example, like, before the break, my family was here, like, my mom, grandmother, and my sister. So, I don't know, like, I didn't go to shul on Friday night. I don't know, I was tired. But, for example, now I spend Shabbos with friends, and I went to shul because
right.
More people were going. So, it's other than a beira that I went to
That's
shul.
A hard question. So, there's always going to be competing values. Someone just told me last night, I won't say his name, and I won't say the Rav's name, but it was with an Adam Gadol B'Yisrael. He was picking him up from the airport. And his Adam Gadol said to him, I have to catch this connecting flight. There's no minyan here. I'm not going to daven with a minyan. So I'm going to daven Ma'ariv B'Yechidus now. And I want you to daven with me. So he said, why do you want me to daven with you? He said, because in Halacha, Miut Rabim is Shnayim. The minimum amount in Halacha that's considered a group is two. Right? So this Rav said, he said it's a bit chiddush, but said, when two people daven together, that's already a little bit more, that's already, it's a little bit of a tefillah b'tzibur.
There's a mission of those.
When two sit together, Hashem and the Shekhinah is there. Also says, one sits alone, the Shekhinah is there. But here he's saying, al tefillah b'tzibur, when two people are together, it's already a shtickle tzibur. So this younger Rav, who told me this story about this Gadol B'Yisrael, said to me afterwards, I didn't ask him, but I was curious why he thought it was better for me to daven with him so that he would have two versus me davening. This Rav was just helping him get from point A to point B than for me catching Mar with a minion later.
Sadiq thought it was going to make it. So he...
Whatever it is, okay? But there's always cheshbonus, right? What's more important, Tefillah B'Tzibur or Kibbutz Avim? I'll tell you a funny thing I did Friday night. I came on Friday. I was running out to get to this tish with this Eisha Torah thing. So I came on Friday night, and my wife was putting Yaakov to sleep, and it was taking a while. And I wanted to make sure we had a normal amount of time for the Shabbos meal. So instead of waiting for everyone to get to the table, I sang Shalom Aleichem and Eish Yisrael beforehand, figuring we can get to Kiddush more quickly. And I always think of this story. There's a famous story with the Chafetz Chaim. Then the Chafetz Chaim would have guests who were poor and they were hungry. He would skip over Shalom Aleichem and get straight to Kiddush. And he said it's more important to take care of the guests at my table than to be busy with the angels and the Shalom Aleichem. We can say that after. So for the last couple of years, I've been singing the Arizal's Azamer B'Shvachim, which is his Friday night tefillah. Askinu Sedas and then Azamer B'Shvachim. Trying to add new things to my life, so I've been saying it. So by the time I finished like Eish Yisrael, my wife came down. I said Askinu Sedas quickly, and I said, you know, I'll say Azamer B'Shvachim afterwards. My family's hungry. I want to make Kiddush. Well, you know, it's more important. Mishkal HaChasidus. Competing values is more important to get to Kiddush and Challah than it is for me to sing some song from the Arizal that I don't really even understand what it's talking about. I'm saying it's not important, but I'm saying this is maybe more important. And then I thought, what are the words Azamer B'Shvachin mean? Azamer B'Shvachin means, so you think Azamer means to sing, right? Azamer B'Shvachin, I'll sing praises to Hashem. What else does Zomer mean? Suga de Zimra means songs of praise, right? What else does Zomer mean? In the Hilchos Shabbos, and Zomer means pruning, right? Cutting, yeah? Azamer B'Shvachin, so what does it mean? Let me just look in the art scroll with the translation. It says, Azamer B'Shvachin, I will cut down the klipos. That's what it's all about. It's about, you know, Shabbos drives away all the klipos and all the negative energies, and Shabbos protects, right? It's all about, you know, driving away all the kolchos hara. So we begin the Arizal's tefillah. Azamer b'shvachim means what? I'm going to cut down the sitra achra by singing praises to Hashem. I said to my wife, and she didn't like it. She thought I was being too casual with like. So I said azamer b'shvachim. I said this Shabbos azamer. I'm going to cut down the shvachim. We're going to cut out the praises of Hashem. I'm going to get straight to Kiddush. She's like, whoa, you can't, look, I don't like that pshat. Azamer b'shvachin, you're going to cut out the tefillos. I said, yeah, the kids want challah. I thought it was a good cheshvan. But it's hard. Spending time with my parents or tefillah b'tzibur, I don't know.
No, it wasn't because spending time with my parents. I was, tired.
Okay.
But
why were you tired? Because you're spending time with your family. It's very hard. It's very hard to know sometimes. But that's part of the trick of the Yetzahar sometimes, to overcompensate in a certain area. And then you end up damaging another area. There's a lot of stories of tzaddikim who, you know. The famous story of the guy who was coming late to Kolel. And the Rosh Kolel said to him, you know, you got to be here on time or we're not going to pay. He said, I'm sorry. He said, it's just there's this woman and she has like 8 little kids. So I stop off in the morning. I stop by to help her, to give her kids breakfast and to help her take out the garbage. And I said, oh, okay. Such a tzaddik, you know. Like, you get the call whenever you want. So the fellow says, who is this poor woman? He says, oh, it's my wife. She's just getting the kids, like, you know, fed in the morning. And with some almana, like, around the corner, then like, oh, you're tzaddik. But, like, helping your wife get your own kids dressed and take out your own garbage. And right? Then the Rosh Kol is a time. Okay, so it's hard sometimes, you know? It's hard to know what's the ikker, what's the tafel. All right, let's get some Mishnah Brurah.